There's a high fly ball.
From KMOX Sports.
That's hit deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time.
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Awesome to be with you. Welcome into Tuesday night on Sports Open Line. You know, I had a plan going into tonight. I had a plan to talk a lot of baseball tonight, and I'm going to do that still. It's some fun. Some of it's going to be me yelling at Major League Baseball and the commissioner and the MLBPA, too, because they're all involved in this labor thing, and I'm going to do that. What I didn't expect until like 7 or 8 minutes ago was that I was going to be bringing my Twitter feed onto the air today, but I'm going to because it is relevant to a piece of news today, and we're going to get into the labor stuff. I want to talk. I saw another thing I got into a Twitter thing about today with Nolan Arenado, and I want to get to that a little bit later on. That'll probably be next hour. I want to talk about the commissioner. I mentioned this story last night, but we didn't have time to dig into it. Where Ken Rosenthal was not renewed at MLB Network Radio. Oh, I'm sorry, just MLB Network. Sorry, not the radio side, just the TV network. And Andrew Marchand of the New York Post reported that that was at least in part because of some things he wrote that were mildly critical of Rob Manfred. And they really were mild criticisms. They're not that bad. And if that was at all a part of it, see, but it's going to be a bigger topic when it comes to the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and I think commissioners in general. Like, how many commissioners in the major four sports do you think are actually good at their job? Well, now, they're all good at making money, right? I mean, they're all good at fighting for the owner's interest, which is fine. I don't care. I know that's the job. But another part of the job is public relations, communicating with the customers. And three of the four absolutely suck at that. The only one that's any good at it at all is Adam Silver in the NBA. Gary Bettman's brutal. Roger Goodell, Roger Goodell's name is now a joke in and of itself. Like, if you want to tell a joke, just make Roger Goodell's name the punchline, and it's funny. Why did the chicken cross the road? Roger Goodell! he's that bad at the whole communication thing. And Rob Manfred's there, too. Doesn't mean they're bad at making money. That doesn't mean they're bad at administrating, but they're terrible with understanding their customers and at least on a surface level, putting the customers first. We're going to get to all of this stuff as we go through the show tonight. But I want to start with the Cardinals canceling winter warm-up for this year. There's a press release that went out this afternoon. To me, the least surprising thing in the world. I expected this a long time ago, in part because of the lockout and in part because of COVID, because we are, again, in the middle of a surge. Now, maybe you're not getting sick from it. There are people in the hospital from it. What, today, do we have a million cases in the United States today, which is a daily record, if I remember right? Now, again, I mean, I'm doing my normal thing. Coming to work, I'm going to the store, I went to a movie earlier today to see Spider-Man, I might talk to you about that a little later on. So no, I'm not like cowering in the corner at home going, oh, I don't want to get it. I mean, I already had the damn thing. But yeah, I've done my part. Whatever I can do to get through it easier, I've done. Whether it's masks or vaccines, whatever. But that doesn't mean it's not still a problem. It doesn't mean that there aren't hospitals dealing with problems, with emergency rooms that are super full. And by the way, if you don't believe that, go on Twitter and check out Kenny Wallace's feed from about a week ago. I think it was last weekend, actually. And read what he and his wife went through when he took his wife to the ER and how long they had to spend there, how it took them basically an entire day to be seen. That's how crowded the whole thing was. That's how bad it was. So we have these problems. All this stuff is happening. But here's the deal. Here's the simple thing. I want to tell you the reality of it first. And then I want to dive into how this... I know everything becomes a fight on Twitter. So, I mean, I want to keep that in mind. But it was shocking to me that... Like, when I saw this news earlier today, the last thing I thought is that I'd be talking about winter warm-up on Sports Open Line. I figured I'd just mention it as a courtesy. You could still do the 50-50 raffle, you know, go to thecardinals.com and you can find out all about that. Like, I thought that's what I would do and that would be it. But no, of course, there are people mad online about the winter warm-up being canceled. Now, the team announced it today. They said it's because of the lockout. And that's a huge part of it. Guys, a huge part of what drives the attendance to the winter warm-up is the opportunity that people have to get autographs from and speak with their favorite Major League Baseball players. Well, the entire 40-man roster is ineligible for anything put on by the team. They can't use anybody on the 40-man roster for the winter warm-up. So they don't have the drawing power that they would need or that they would normally have. And you could make the argument, sure, that, hey, you still have the Hall of Famers, right? You still have all the Red Jackets. Do you? You sure they all want to come into a big crowded indoor space in the middle of an Omicron outbreak across the country coming out of Christmas and New Year's? You sure they all want to do that? I mean, maybe some of them would. I haven't asked them, but I'm guessing there was probably some feedback that was like, I don't know if I want to do that at age 75 or age 70 or 68 or whatever. And there's probably some reservations about that. Now, that wasn't mentioned in the release. Derek Gould did report it in the Post-Dispatch that COVID was at least a part of the decision. It was not in the press release from the team. The lockout was cited. But they're both valid reasons. They're both actually happening. And guys, this really sucks for Cardinals care. You do understand that, right? Like, the winter warm-up is not a profit generator for the team. It is entirely about Cardinals care. It is the single biggest fundraiser for Cardinals care in any given calendar year. This hurts the Cardinals' charitable arm immensely that this event is canceled. Immensely. Like, to the point where you're not going to make it up. And you think that they did this because they didn't try to find solutions? You really think that they did this because they're incompetent? There was, I mean, like, legit anger about this. And, you know, one, I'm not going to get into anybody's Twitter handle. I'm not here to call people out on the radio. That's just stupid. I heard somebody's voice. But I do need to point out that there were people, like, blaming Mo. You're blaming the president of baseball operations for an event that is run by Cardinals Care, the Cardinals' charitable arm. Michael Hall runs the winter warm-up. Great guy. Does amazing work for Cardinals Care and the community relations team. That's not Mo's responsibility. Now, does that mean he has no say in how things go? I don't know. But he's not running it. And if you don't even have a cursory understanding of how it's run, what it's for, and how important that event is to Cardinals care, how do you have anything to be angry about? I can see being disappointed. I can be like, oh, that sucks. I really wanted to go. Like, that's a fair emotion. If you're angry at 30 owners and the MLBPA, cool. I agree with you. This is stupid. The lockout is stupid. We got a bunch of grown men who can't just get in the room and solve problems. They're going to fall back on the old cliche, well, you know, deadline spur action. You could spur action today. You're grown people. This isn't some organic process that can only happen a certain way. It's not like waiting for a tree to grow. Well, you know, over time with sunshine and rain, you know, that little sprig will turn into a tree. It's not like that. You can make it happen today. So, yeah, there should be anger about that. But that's not Mo's fault. And, like, the idea here that the team wouldn't try to do this, like, there are so many things you could rip a professional sports team for. There are so many things you could complain about. You want to complain that they haven't addressed needs in the lineup or the bullpen enough or whatever. I mean, there's so many things to legitimately criticize that it's ridiculous to even bother with things when you don't know what you're talking about. So, I mean, I'm pretty amused by the whole thing, to be honest with you. Like, I don't understand it at all. I don't understand blaming baseball operations for a charitable event being canceled. Again, I get generalized anger about the whole thing. People should be mad about the lockout. I am. I'm irritated as hell about this whole thing. I think it's ridiculous because we all know how it's going to play out. They're both going to give on things they don't want to give on. They're both going to be mad about it in the end. Somebody might get a slight edge out of it, but they're all going to be super wealthy in the end, right? Like, even as a diehard baseball guy, I have no interest in just about either side getting every penny that they can. I sure do identify more on the player side than the owner side because, you know, I think the framing of everything is inherently unfair because we know every penny that every player makes and we have no idea what owners take home. And if you did know that, by the way, you would not argue on the side of the owners. There's a reason they don't want you to know that, by the way. There's a reason the owners don't let it be known how much they each take home from this process. Because they know that if you knew that, you would not side with them in these arguments. And also, it's ridiculous to even think about what they get take home in any given year. Because when you take a look at ownership over 10, 15, 20 years, they all make gigantic money in the end. So it's silliness. And I got people trying to correct me. Dude on Joe's like, Mo is the CEO of the Cardinals. It falls under his responsibility. No, he's not. He is the president of baseball operations. That's his title. Bill DeWitt III is the guy, like, I don't know how they structure it, whether that he's above Mo or he's just same title but different department because he runs the business side. No, he's not the CEO. Bill DeWitt Jr. is the chairman of the team. He's the chairman. He's not the CEO either. Again, this is it. This is what drives me crazy is people are mad about things you don't even know what you're talking about. If you're going to be mad, just be mad about the things that are wrong. If you're going to be mad at Mo, be mad at something Mo has control over. Like, I don't care about that. I'm not going to be anybody's shield. Just because I do pregame and postgame, I'm not anybody's shield. Mo doesn't need me to defend him. You want to talk about the moves that they've made, the good and the bad and all that? Have at it. But being mad that a charity fundraiser was canceled because of a lockout and a pandemic, being mad about that is really odd. All right, I have other things I want to get to. I didn't mean to rant about that long, but I don't understand. If you don't know how things work, don't go on rants about them on social media. Maybe take the time to figure it out. All right, let's talk a bit more about the lockout. I want to talk more about the communication side of this, because really, I don't know if you guys agree with me on this or not, but I think a big part of the problem here is the way that Well, really, in particular, it's the way that MLB and Rob Manfred handle messaging. We'll dig into that next up on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, back in on Sports Open Line on KMOX. Moving on from a severe lack of understanding about how things worked to, well, I mean, let's be honest. There's also sometimes a severe lack of understanding about how labor issues work. And I get that. I mean, I've had to do this for 20, 25 years, like learn about these things as we go because it happens so often in sports. And the crazy thing is it hasn't really happened in baseball in 26 years, you know, since 94, 95, we really haven't had to deal with an official work stoppage. You know, I don't understand how it gets to this point. I mean, I let me rephrase that. I understand it. I think it's stupid. I think it's ridiculous that labor negotiations reach this point. And I know everybody in labor is like, deadline spur action. Yeah, I know that. But I also know that as rational thinking human beings, we can make decisions not to do that and not to push it off to the last minute. What are these two sides waiting for? And I'm not picking a side in this. I'm ripping both the owners and the players equally here for not being in official meetings as soon as they should have been back to work yesterday like the rest of us. They should be in a room. And I, you know, the thing we have to keep in mind, and as I get angry about it, I need to keep in mind, is I'm sure that there is communication. I'm sure that back channels are going over things. At least I believe that, and I sure hope it. But I'm pretty sure that that's what's happening. They don't just entirely stop talking to it. They don't have official talks, right? They don't have all the big boys in the room at the same time. But I'm sure that there are people that are continuing to move on these things as time goes by. But this is all so unnecessary. I mean, you know, the fight, okay, like the fight may not be unnecessary between these two. They do have to sort out their differences. But it could, we've known this was coming forever. This has been building for 2-3 years. It was blatantly obvious that this was coming in 2020 when the COVID negotiations were such a mess. And I do put more of the blame for the perception of this on Major League Baseball, the owners, and the commissioner. And I do have a very specific complaint about Rob Manfred that I want to get into in the next segment. And it's not about any particular issue. It's more about what his strengths and weaknesses are and where I think Major League Baseball, and I'll say the same thing, by the way, about the NFL and the NHL too. But we're talking about the baseball lockout. And if, in a little bit, I want to get into this Rob Manfred thing and what his strengths and weaknesses are and how his weaknesses really hurt the sport. Not in irreparable ways. Nope. These things can be repaired. They can be fixed. But this is an example. And by the way, I do think that every Cardinals fan that's upset about winter warm-up being canceled because of the lockout. I think being upset about that is perfectly justified. It's stupid to blame Mo, like we were talking about in the last segment, but it's a perfectly justifiable thing to be upset about. These are things that fans look forward to. These are things that get fans excited about the upcoming season. There aren't that many opportunities throughout the course of a calendar year that a fan has the opportunity to go say hello to their favorite players, to get an autograph, to listen to Hall of Famers take questions on stage, to listen to players do Q&As. There's a lot of cool stuff that happens at the winter warmup, and it's something that only happens once a year. It's not normal kinds of access. And fans, the customers, enjoy those things. I'm a fan of sports. I'm a fan. I love those types of things. And this is going to be happening all across Major League Baseball because these events, the fan fest type things, they don't go over very well without the players. The players are the stars. And again, you can consider trotting out your franchise greats, your franchise Hall of Famers, your guys out of Cooperstown. But again, in the middle of a pandemic, how many of those guys in the retired athletes crowd, how many of them are like, yeah, I'll go in a big crowd of people? Sure. it's a difficult time to put on these kinds of events. But I'm sure that this event would have happened. I mean, it's pretty clear with the way that the Cardinals have framed this that minus the lockout, they were going ahead with the winter warmup. And I think a lot of people would have been good with that. There would have been I would expect a pretty strong showing from Cardinal Nation. But be angry about the right things and at the correct people. And really, this is about the union and its leadership and the league and its leadership. And I want to get into that leadership with Rob Manfred in one particular way. See, Rob Manfred isn't where he is by accident. And he isn't where he is because he's not amazing at what he does. It's what he doesn't do well that's causing the problem. I want to get into the difference between those two things next up on KMOX.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm. Because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, let's dive into strengths and weaknesses here. I understand the real world, right? I understand the reality that the commissioners in the major sports leagues are first and foremost representatives of their owners, right? I mean, in baseball, the 30 owners hire a commissioner, and the commissioner's job is to do what the owners want the commissioners to do. That's the job. I get that completely. Don't have an issue with it. I wish it wasn't that way. I wish the commissioner was somebody that was more neutral, you know, maybe paid half of his salary from the owners and half of his salary from the players association. Like, that would be beautiful. It'd be wonderful. But look, if you're one of the 30 owners, there's no way you want that. You want him to be your employee. He works for you. He has your interests in mind at all times. And I'm okay with the setup. I understand the real world. I'm not going to yell at Rob Manfred for being what the owners want him to be, which is their advocate, the guy that fights for what they want. That's what he is. But that doesn't mean that that's all that he is or all that he should be. A commissioner should also be, in some way, a savvy communicator that understands the customer, that understands what the fans need to hear and what will make them happy and what will make them continue to support the sport with the same excitement level, with the same, you know, passion that they've had all their lives. And the problem, we've seen this with Rob Manfred for a long time. Remember the whole reference to the World Series trophy as a hunk of metal? A hunk of metal! Like, really? That's the message you want the fans to get? That it doesn't matter? It's a piece of metal. Who cares? You mean the one thing that everybody is supposed to care about more than everything else is just a hunk of metal? That misstep is symbolic of what's wrong with Rob Manfred. See, what he's really good at is labor law. He's been doing labor law since the 1980s. He did it in private practice. He helped out. He's been involved in Major League Baseball labor issues since the late 80s. Before that, he was in private practice doing labor law. When it comes to labor law and negotiations and CBAs, Rob Manfred's a badass. He's been doing it for a long time. He knows it inside and out. He's got a reputation for being a pit bull. He's got a reputation for being a pit bull on the side of ownership. He's been involved in every labor negotiation with the Players Association since the late 80s. And for a long time, he was the guy that led those negotiations on behalf of the owners under Bud Selig. The problem is, and by the way, this was also a problem for Bud Selig, in my opinion. Because Bud was an owner. I mean, you could twist it all you want. Everybody likes to write these things after the fact. Like, Bud's a fan of the game. Great, fine. But he's an owner. He sees everything from an owner's eyes. And he was also a terrible communicator. A nice guy, by the way. I think I interacted with Bud a couple of times, 2-3 times. He's nice. He's a guy you're like, oh, I like that guy. He's a nice dude. Even when you disagree with a thing that he's doing or whatever, yeah, you seem like a nice guy. Manfred doesn't seem like a nice guy. And I know people personally that have had firsthand dealings with him that say he's not a nice guy. But that doesn't matter really, right? You can be good at your job and not be a nice guy. And obviously nice is relative, right? Because if you're opposing someone, you're not going to think they're nice. You're butting heads. You're fighting each other. He doesn't need to be a nice guy. And he's really good at labor law. He is a pit bull on that stuff. But he's horrific at public relations. Horrific. And that job needs to come with more public relations savvy. Because you look around, and how many times do these things get screwed up? I mean, like the first thing that happened the day of the lockout, you've got the commissioner out there bad-mouthing the players. Their fault that we're here. They don't get it. Blah, blah. All of the things that he said the day that the lockout was instituted. It's all horrible communication. You're the face of the sport. You shouldn't be the person bad-mouthing the product that you sell. Period. Ever. You should be the person convincing everyone we have the best product in the world. Yeah, we have our differences. We don't agree on some of these financial issues, but we're going to figure it out. And I know at the time, I remember I read you guys the Cardinals statement, and the Cardinals statement was perfect. And I really wish that they had written the statement for Rob Manfred, and he had just read what the Cardinals put out there. Because what the Cardinals put out there was exactly what I'm saying. And not word for word, but idea for idea. Like, hey, listen, we have a great sport. We love our fans. We're going to figure this out. But that's not Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred is a scorched earth dude. He's going to go out there and he's going to just lay it all. He's going to fire his shots. without thinking about the PR, without thinking about the product. And I do think that's a problem. Now, it's not an unfixable thing. But he's not good at that. He's not good at communications. He's really good, though, at administration. He's really good at labor, at the labor side of things. And by the way, that's why he's the commissioner. He's done so much good work for the owners dating back to the late 80s and early 90s. So he's done so much good work for them over 30 years that they have faith in him. They trust him to be their voice. They trust him to be their advocate. And good. I have no problem with that. But at least try to be good at messaging. I mean, this is a public relations business. You're trying to convince people to spend their money with you. And you're not going to do that by bad-mouthing your product. And that's really all Manfred does. And I don't think he does it on purpose. It's just that his strength isn't communication. And they would be better off as a league if the person speaking on behalf of the league was actually a public relations professional, somebody that is good at messaging. And look, I have the same complaint about the NFL. Roger Goodell's terrible at this stuff. Gary Bettman is terrible at this stuff. There's a reason that Gary Bettman gets booed in every arena that he shows up in. If Gary Bettman appears at a hockey game, he gets booed. Now, on the other hand, Adam Silver of the NBA does a pretty good job of this. Does he advocate for the owners? Of course he does. Guys, he wouldn't have the job if he didn't. He's doing the same thing for his owners that the other sports are doing for their owners, the other commissioners are doing for their owners. But he does a better job of reaching the fans, of showing them that he understands. Do you guys recall any recent times where you hear Adam Silver bad-mouthing the NBA Players Association? Maybe you don't follow the NBA. If you don't, you wouldn't have seen it either way. But he doesn't. And that's something I think Major League Baseball needs to get better at. Whether it's Manfred himself or maybe it's a different person acting as the spokesman for the commissioner's office, I don't know. I would advocate for a new commissioner just for the sake of changing the voice. You know how teams change managers because people have tuned out the manager? Kind of thing I'm talking about. I do think that Manfred is good at the majority of his job. I mean, that's why he has the job. If he wasn't good at it, the owners wouldn't keep him. But what he's not good at is communication. And then that leads to things, you know, like we hear with the Ken Rosenthal thing, right? I don't know that that's true. None of us do. I do find it interesting that I haven't found any pushback from Major League Baseball on that story. Maybe it's there and I just didn't see it. But yeah, I got a text a few minutes ago. This is a good point on all of this stuff, is that both sides underestimate the damage that'll be done to their brand if next season is messed up in any way. Yeah, I agree with that. And by the way, I still don't think they're going to miss a day of the regular season. If I can count on anything, I can count on greed. I'll explain what I mean by that coming up next on KMOX. All right, we're going to wrap up the labor stuff here. And we're going to dive into some actual baseball stuff. I mean, there's a bunch of things. Like, I had all these other things planned, and then I see stuff on Twitter. I'm like, oh, I got to change my plans. Because it just gets me. It gets me. And there was a tweet earlier today about Nolan Arenado's season. And I'll go over that to begin next hour. And then, of course, I replied. Not in reply to it. I quote tweeted it with some, let's just say, facts from a different viewpoint, just to make a point. And by the way, something that I think is relevant to all of us that talk about the Cardinals every single day, that we probably need to do a better job of putting into the normal context of conversation about the Cardinals and offense. And we've done that. I talked about it with Derek Gould on the best podcast in baseball recently. It was the last one of 2021. We've talked about these things here on KMOX with him and other guests as well. And we'll start off next hour using the Nolan Arenado thing to jump off into the bigger topic of the impact of Busch Stadium on offense and how that impacts the way that we perceive the offense. Because if you asked, you know, most Cardinals fans about what do you guys think of the offense in 2021, it'd be like, well, I was really good at the end, but for the most part, it was crappy and inconsistent and erratic. And like, but when you break down how the numbers got the way that they were, it makes a lot of sense. And I wonder if we need to think differently, not expect less. I want to be clear about that. My message is never to expect less from this team. Never. They have resources. They've got a farm system. They've got a history. And by the way, they've also got a plan that calls for contention every year. So the message is never from me, expect less from them. No. But maybe we have to understand what to expect a little bit better and how it looks. So we'll get into that coming up in the next hour. I wanted to wrap up on the labor stuff and talk a bit about greed for a second. Because we hear a lot now, and I get it. I understand. Like, I'm mad at that this is all happening. There's no reason that rational adults, many of them in their 60s and 70s, and you know, obviously on the player side, a lot younger, but still veteran players and their, you know, the lawyers that make up the union and on Tony Clark. I mean, there are a lot of people there with a lot of life experience. It bothers me that we have to do it this way. We have to be childish about it and put everything off until the last minute. Because all it does is damage. This is a time of year where around Major League Baseball and around, you know, I mean, just around the sport, we'd all be talking about spring training starting in a month. And how does this team shape up going into spring training? And what can they still do in free agency? And I mentioned this last night. If you look around, you go to any of the major sports websites, you're not going to find anything about baseball damn near anywhere. You have to dig deep on the baseball page at ESPN.com. And even there, you're not going to find anything written in the last week. You know, on The Athletic, you'll get the occasional piece, and it's all mailbags and nothing against those things. I like those things. I enjoy them. But there's not, we don't have the same discussion. I think we all agree that there will be a season. I don't know anybody in the sport that thinks that the season's in danger. Now, there are some people that think the regular season could be in danger, the beginning of it. I don't think so. I really don't believe that we're going to miss a game. I've been wrong about things before. Anytime you're making a prediction, pretty good chance you're going to be wrong. But I'm pretty convinced about this. I don't think we're going to miss a game in the regular season. And I cited greed as the topic for this segment before I hit the tease there. And I think that's what you need to know. Greed will be a motivator in this that will actually benefit us, the fan. And I don't know that maybe it's not even greed. I mean, it could just be the desire to continue making money, because so much was lost because of COVID in 2020. I can't imagine anybody involved wants to lose more. If you had to pick one thing that people who are wealthy enough to own sports franchises care about more than anything else, aside from family, it's making money. Well, if you're not playing games, you're not making money. And you've already lost out on billions from 2020. You had shortfalls in 2021 because you didn't have full attendance all year, right? And in some places, even when they did, you didn't have as many people in the seats as you normally would. And we saw that here. And I think, again, some of that was COVID. Some of that was your fan base lost revenue too, right? I mean, how many people do you know that either lost jobs or got laid off or got furloughed or, you know, if they work gigs, their gig employment cut down dramatically in 2020. I mean, I know a lot of people that went through that. And that plays into what people have to spend on entertainment, right? On sports. There's a lot of things that went into 2021, but the bottom line is most baseball teams in 2021 did not make the same amount of money that they would have under normal circumstances. So you have 2 years of shortfalls. 2020 was a big shortfall. 2021 was notable, but probably not nearly as big. You know who else lost a lot of money through all that? Your television partners. And some of the regional sports networks that pay huge rights fees, went without any programming, went without any viewership. Do you think you want to do that to them again? Because some of them are struggling. If those go away, you lose guaranteed money. Those are guaranteed contracts, right? Everybody always likes to say, well, you know, the players get guaranteed contracts. Yeah, so do the owners. Their TV contracts are guaranteed. There's a lot of incentive to get this sorted out so that they can play 162 games. Could opening day be moved? Yeah, sure. But I think they're going to play a full season. I don't think they want to give a dollar back that they don't have to give back. And eventually, the differences that they're going to settle on are not going to be that huge of a percentage of what revenue will be coming down the road. But, of course, there's always the risk of running people off and making your recovery to normal last longer. And I think they're all aware of that. So I think we'll get to things ready. We'll get things ready and raring to go by opening day. But sooner rather than later would be nice. All right, we have some real on-field baseball to talk about after the news on KMOX.